In the scriptures, there in Genesis 37, we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Aren't you thankful for that everlasting water, the gift of life we have in Jesus Christ? What a wonderful blessing that is. I'm going to begin reading in verse 5, and I'm going to read down through verse 11 as we continue in this journey in the life of Joseph. God's word says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream." Now remember, last week we talked about the hatred his brothers had for him because of the love of the father, and how that sometimes is our experience in the world. And the week before that, we talked about the benefits of the love of the father, and we get to enjoy that as children of God, that's for sure. But now he dreams a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." So basically he's saying they were harvesting some grain, and they would put the grain in bundles and they would tie it together, and it was a sheaf of grain. And he says that in this dream, the sheaf that he tied together stood upright, and the sheaves that his brothers tied together bowed down to his sheaf. And that's what he's saying there. And they interpreted it accurately. You think we're going to bow down to you? You got to be crazy. He's 17, around 17 at this time. And all his brothers are older than him. They're in their 30s and older. They're all older than him. And so they're looking at this as, "You're crazy. This is never going to happen." But you know what? It did happen exactly like he dreamed, didn't it? Amen. Now, he didn't know that. We read the story and we know, well, of course that's going to happen. Well, they didn't know that. Okay, remember, they're living what we're reading, okay? We can look a few chapters ahead and see how it ends. He's living this, all right? This is their experience. And verse 8 it says, "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. And he dreamed yet another dream." Now, we're not told how much time is in between these dreams, but he dreams a second dream. "And behold," he said, "behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and his brethren. Now, the first one, from the narrative, it says he just told his brothers. This one he shares with his father. "And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him." His brother hated him. His brothers were jealous of him. His brothers envied him. But look at what it says about his dad. His father observed the saying. You know, it's interesting about that statement there. He observed the saying. You know, if he would have held on to that saying a little bit more, and he would have believed that those dreams, like Joseph believed those dreams, when the brothers came back with the coat of many colors that had been dipped in blood and said some beast must have torn him to shreds, his father could have remembered this dream. And it would have given him hope. Well, he can't be dead. He had that dream. You know, a lot of times we discount the truth God gives us when it could give us the hope we need to get through a hard time. Now, I'm looking in the face of people that go through hard times. We all go through hard times. It's something that we all have in common as human beings. We all have trials. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. We all go through hard times. But the bottom line is this. This book is full of promises.
Amen.
And Satan, when you're going through a hard time, Satan wants you to not remember these promises.
Oh boy.
He doesn't want you to go to this book and get comfort. I was reading this week in Psalm 25, and Psalm 25 was a great comfort to me this week. I texted it out to several of my preacher friends, and talking about the affliction that David was going through, and he cries out to the Lord. He trusts in the Lord. He turns to the Lord. My friend, don't let Satan cause you to miss the promise of God that can give you hope through a tragedy and a loss in your life. If Joseph's father, Jacob, would have really hung on to this dream, it would have given him hope when he heard his son was dead. I'd like us to go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this text, and I thank you for these truths. And I pray that you would bless and you would work in all of our hearts with your word today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I've done several times in this series, I like to share a rags-to-riches story. And today I want to share a rags-to-riches story about a man named Frederick Douglass, a man that didn't even know his birthday. He was born a slave, and he lived in Massachusetts. At that time, part of Massachusetts was free, and part of Massachusetts had slavery. And he served as a house servant, in the home of his master. And his master's wife took special interest in him because he was in the home with her a lot. And she began to teach him how to read. And that was not a common thing with slaves in those days. And her husband found out about it, and he scolded her, and he put Frederick out of the house, and so that wouldn't continue on. But Frederick had enough of a base of understanding of reading that he began to teach himself based on what she gave him. And he began to read anything that he could get his hands on. Any little scrap of paper he would start working on and start trying to learn and start trying to read. When he was 13 years old, he was traded to another master in Baltimore. And he caulked ships. And there was a white Methodist minister that would share with him and that took interest in him and that shared with him the gospel. And this man shared with him about how he taught him about how all men, great or small, bond or free, were sinners in the sight of God. This is a quote from Frederick Douglass. And they were by nature rebels against his government, God's authority. And they must repent of their sins and be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And Douglass writes on and he says, "Though for weeks I was a poor, broken-hearted mourner, traveling through doubts and fears, I finally found my burden lightened and heart relieved from this pain." He trusted Jesus Christ, basically. He says, "I loved all mankind, slaveholders no exception, though I abhorred slavery more than ever. I saw the world in a new light, and my great concern was to have everyone converted. My desire to learn increased, especially did I want through the acquaintance of the contents of the Bible." He wanted to learn to read more so he could read God's word. Amen. Students in school, one of your greatest drives in school ought to be to learn so you can understand God's word and you can serve God in the way he wants you to serve him. Your education is important. And Douglass understood that. And later on in his teen years, he took a great risk to himself, and he actually escaped. But this foundation that God laid in his heart drove him and motivated him to become very outspoken. And he actually was a great preacher. And actually, he was also a great orator against slavery, not only in America, but also in Europe. He was the first black man to meet President Lincoln. And he was
actually the first black man to be nominated as a vice president back in the 1800s. Pretty amazing. God used him in many ways. He actually served as a ambassador to Haiti and served in two cabinets under Garfield and Harrison as presidents. A man that was born a slave, a man that didn't even know his birthday. God saved his soul, and God used his life for great things.
Amen.
You know, we see the life of Joseph, and we see how he had so much going for him, but he also had so much going against him. But he did not let it stop him. He knew that God gave him a dream, and that dream drove him to trust God and to let God work in his life as God saw fit. And he never lost hope in what God had laid on his heart. Today, when you leave here today, I want you to leave here with this thought. Let God give you his dream for your life. See, everybody here has dreams for their life, but I promise you this, your dream will not bring you the fulfillment nor the joy on earth or in eternity like God's dream for your life will.
Amen.
God wants to use your life in so many ways, but you have to make yourself available to him. You have to listen to him speak to your heart. You have to let him work in your life. And sometimes the way things are going in your life, you're going to wonder, is this dream ever going to happen? I mean, we're talking from the time God gave him these dreams to the fruition of these dreams. We're talking almost 20 years passed by. And he was in some very dark places in those years, and very dismal places, and places that could have been very discouraging, even depressing. But the thing I love about Joseph is he never lost hope. And he never let his circumstances define who he was. He always knew he was a child of God. He always knew that God had a plan for his life, and he always knew that God was able to take care of all of that. And he let God use him any way he wanted, wherever he was, because he saw himself as a servant of the Lord. My friend, it doesn't matter where you are in your stage of life. God's not done with you yet if you're still breathing. He still wants to use you to his glory here on this earth. And don't let the circumstances of life define you. And don't let the circumstances of life limit you. Let God receive the glory in your life that he deserves and that he desires from you. You determine a lot of that. That quote by Frederick, and he believed this and he wrote about this in many places. You determine your future. Work, work, work. He said that over and over and over. Work. Make yourself what you want to be. And we need to let God help us to make us what he wants us
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
See, Douglas could have been very bitter. Joseph could have been very bitter. Douglas could have been just so depressed. Joseph could have been so depressed. But neither one of these men let the things that happened to them define them as a victim. They rose above that with the help of God, and they were used of God in great ways in their generation. And that can be the same story for any one of us here. See, Joseph had every right to hate his brothers, but he didn't. Amen? Joseph did not return to his brother the treatment that they gave to him when he could have. And they feared he would. But he didn't. Why did he not do that? He did not let his circumstances make him see himself as a victim where he was vengeful toward them. My friend, don't let that happen in your life. It will only hurt you the most. It may hurt other people, but it'll hurt you the most. And it will limit you from what God can do in your life. See, it was his brothers that hated Joseph. And Joseph hadn't even done anything. They hated him because their father loved him the most. They hated him because God gave him these dreams. You know, people hate you for whatever they want to hate you for. But you cannot let that affect you. You need to keep your focus on the Lord. See, hatred is a terribly wicked sin.
Amen.
It's a terrible sin. And it results in so many negative emotions that destroy people's lives, destroy the person that has the hate, and destroy the lives of other people as well. The Bible has much to say about hate, and not any of it's good.
Right.
My friend, we need to not let hate control us. Proverbs tells us hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. In the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking to his disciples about how he wants them to live, he deals with the issue of hatred. And in that statement, he takes sin from an action to the heart level, which is where sin begins. It begins in the heart. Before somebody ever kills somebody and murders somebody with hate and vengeance in their heart, in an action of hate and vengeance, it starts with hate and vengeance in their heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And he helps his disciples realize that the sin of their heart is just as wrong as the sin of their action. And my friend, we all know that God sees our hearts. If we deal with sin in our heart, it never comes out and affects other people. And we can keep it between us and God, and we can fix it between us and God. And my friend, that's a whole lot less messy than when we let it out and it affects other people. God can help us with that. In 1 John and in 1 John 2 and in 1 John 3, it talks about hatred and it talks about how children of God should not be people that hate. If you love God, you ought to love others. And it's not my opinion. This is not umbrology. This is not Baptistology. This is Bibleology.
Amen. That's right. All the way, park it there, brother.
Hate is a wicked sin and it does wicked things to us. And to others. I want to challenge you this week. If you don't have a devotional time this week, I want to challenge you to commit to reading through 1 John, the book of 1 John. If you're already engaged in something and you have a little extra time to do some extra reading, I encourage you to read 1 John. It deals with this issue of hate. When I look at Frederick Douglass, and I look at Joseph, I am amazed how they rose above their circumstance and they did not hate others for what happened to them. They did not become bitter and angry people. Frederick says, God called me to love people, even slaveholders. That would be a tough thing to say. I remember you may have remembered I shared the story about Louis Zamperini. He was captured by the Japanese in World War II. And he was held in one of the worst prison camps, one of the worst prison leaders. That prison leader was moved. Zamperini later was moved to the same prison that prison leader was moved to. Called him the Bird. He's a very evil man. Zamperini got out after the war was won. He got out. He came back home and he tried to drink his sorrows away. My friend, that'll never work. It'll destroy you and it'll destroy others. It'll never work. Zamperini never found peace, never found hope, never found relief of his nightmares until he met the Lord. And he knew God called him to forgive. And he wanted to test that forgiveness. And he says, I need to go back to Japan where it all happened to me. And those prison guards were actually prisoners now in the same camp. And he went there to see if he really had forgiven them and to share his testimony of trusting Christ as a Savior. My friend, the greatest hope anybody can have is in the Lord. What was the hope Joseph had and through all he went through? The Lord. What was the hope Douglas had and all he went through? The Lord. What caused them not to become bitter and angry people? The Lord. My friend, the same thing that helped them can help you as well.
Amen.
I want to share with you just a few thoughts from this text about Joseph. And I pray that they'll be a help to you as you leave here today. First of all, let God give you His dream for your life. He's given you your life. He has a plan for your life. You need to let Him give you His dream for your life, His will for your life. Call it whatever you want. Call it His will, call it His dream. I don't care what you call it. Just let Him give it to you and do it. There's supposed to be an amen right there. I keep telling you guys, if you miss your cues, it takes longer to get through the sermon. See, Joseph did not come up with this dream on his own. Joseph had no aspirations of this. He had a good gig going. He was the chosen son of his father. He had the coat of many colors, remember? I mean, he wasn't aspiring to something greater. He had it pretty good where he was. He was the heir to his family estate. He was in good shape. He didn't dream this up on his own. God gave him this dream. He was destined to become the leader of his family, even over his older brothers. And he was a sheep herder in training under his older brothers at this time, but he knew it wasn't going to always be that way. He had a good thing going. He didn't aspire to these dreams. See, this vision for his future was beyond his imagination. It was something God gave to him.
Amen.
See, don't settle for what you can do on your own. That's what saddens me so much by so many Christians. So many Christians settle for what they can do with their life. And they do well. Some of them do real well. But you know what? What you can do on your own does not even come close to compare to what the Lord can do through you. My friend, you can achieve great things with the Lord, far greater than you'll ever achieve on your own. See, we cannot match what God alone can do in us and through us. Our flesh is not strong enough to accomplish what God's power can produce in our lives.
That's right.
Our life on our own cannot compare to what God can do through any one of us.
Right.
Joseph was just a sheep herder, but he became the prime minister of the Egyptian Empire. That's pretty big, okay? That's pretty big. Douglas was a slave. He was born a slave. And several years later, he was nominated as vice president. That's pretty impressive, amen?
Amen.
See, what you can do alone does not even compare to what God can do in and through you. Don't settle for less than God's best for your life. You know, as a pastor, and I tell a lot of young pastors this, one of the frustrating things in ministry is seeing potential in other people they don't see in themselves and they don't even desire. And all that potential is wasted and lost because they don't realize it, they don't experience it, they don't live it out, and it's gone. Remember when I started this series of sermons, I talked about the book about potential and about how the richest place on earth is cemeteries because all of the things people take with them to the grave that they could have done and they never did achieve. My friend, don't let that happen in your life. God wants to do great things in all of our lives, but we have to let Him work in us to achieve those things for His glory and for His kingdom. We sing the song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." But so many Christians are seeking their own kingdom in God's time. My friend, it's not about your kingdom. It's about God's kingdom in your life. He's the Lord. You're not the Lord. Let Him work His will in your life. See, we need to let God show us His great plan, plans that we can't even imagine. One of my greatest verses on prayer is Jeremiah 33:3. God calls us. He says, "Call unto me." He calls us to pray. One of the ways you're going to find God's will for your life is asking Him. God, show me your will. Show me what you want me to do with my life. Young people in high school and out of high school, please pray that prayer. God, what do you want me to do with my life? Don't miss it while you're young. Don't miss God's call for your life while you're young.
Very good.
So says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things that you can't even imagine. Just like Joseph. He didn't imagine ever being prime minister of Egypt. He may not even have heard of Egypt. I don't know. But God had plans for him far beyond his dreams. This dream was not his dream. It was God's dream given to him. And you have dreams. And they may be good dreams. I've shared my testimony before. I had a great plan for my life. It was good. There was nothing wrong with it. It was wholesome. It was moral. It was good. I was going to make money and use it for God's work. That's a good plan, right? Not if it's not God's plan. See, my good plan is not a good plan if it's not God's plan. Don't settle for less than God's best for your life. Let him show you what he wants you to do with him. It may be something you never even imagined. See, God reveals his secret plans to those who walk closely with him. It's in your notes. I want to encourage you to read it. Psalm 25 talks about the secret things of God. Those that fear him, those that walk with him. Those are the ones that experience the secret things of God, his dreams for their life. If you're not walking with God, you're never going to find God's dream for your life. If you're not intimate with God, you're never going to hear him speak to your heart and lead you. It all starts with a personal relationship with the Lord. And that starts by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where it all begins, a personal relationship with the Lord. My friend, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's the best life you could ever have. See, God works through his Spirit, guiding us and empowering us to do his will. In 2 Corinthians 2, it talks about that. It says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I realize that the direct application has to do with eternal things. But my friend, I believe that is true even for temporal things on this earth. You can't even imagine the things that God wants to use you to do with him in his kingdom. If you'll just listen to him and walk with him and learn from him and let him work in your life to bring him the glory he deserves in you.
Amen.
But the sad thing is, the vast majority of Christians don't ever get to that place where they learn those things from the Lord. And the vast majority of human beings never come to a place of faith in Jesus Christ where they even start a relationship with the Lord. And to me, that's very sad. It's sad for the fact that God loses out on the glory he could deserve in each of their lives. It's sad on the fact that they miss out on what they could experience with the Lord in life and eternity. And it's sad in the fact of all the impact that they could have had if they would just have walked with God and let God work his will out in their life. We are so busy building our kingdom, we don't even think about his kingdom. My friend, don't fall into that trap. Life is so short. Eternity is so long. Don't waste your focus on this little short bleep and miss out on all that could be in eternity. I'm glad Joseph didn't do that.
Amen.
See, God's plan for your life is far better than what you could do yourself. God's plan for your life must be accomplished by God working in you. Psalm 31 talks about that. I encourage you to read it. Isaiah 26:12 talks about that. The Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our work in us. It's talking about God working in us to help us accomplish what we accomplish. My friend, that's the best plan. God working in you to use you to accomplish his will. That's the best way to let his will be done in your life. Let him work in you. See, we want to fix everything else. See, we want to fix other people's problems. We want to fix other situations. No, God wants to fix you and then use you to accomplish his will.
Amen.
Let him work in you. It starts with you yielding to him. See, God's plan for your life will bring you more gladness than your own plan for you. You need joy in your life. You need gladness in your life. Let God work his plan in your life. You'll have more gladness that way than any other way. Psalm 126 talks about that. talks about joy and it talks about gladness, the working of God in us. And you know, one of the things that God wants to do in our lives is spread the gospel. Not just missionaries like the Jellisons, not just missionaries like the Martins. All of us. That same text of Psalm 26 talks about they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. My friend, we need to sow the gospel message and we need to bathe that message in prayer and see the lives of people changed through the work of the gospel. See, we must yield to God and His power as He works in us and He works through us as tools in His hands to accomplish His will for our lives. The second thing I want you to think about is this. Don't cheat yourself, or don't allow yourself to be cheated from God's dream for you. That's one thing I love about Joseph. Didn't matter what his brothers did. Didn't matter if he was in the pit or if he was a servant in Potiphar's house. Didn't matter that Potiphar's wife lied about him. It didn't matter if he was thrown into prison. It didn't matter if he told the dream of the butler and the baker, and it happened exactly like he said, and then he was forgotten for several more years in prison. None of that mattered. He did not let those circumstances cheat him from God working His will in his life. And there's so many times we get serious about the Lord and we get on fire for God and we want to be yielded to God and we want God to work in our lives and we get excited about what God has in store and we're walking with God and we're yielded to God and God's working in us and things are going along great. And then all of a sudden something bad happens and somebody does something. Somebody stabs us in the back. Somebody betrays us. Somebody hurts our feelings. Something happens. And all of that, we let those circumstances get us off track with God and miss all that God had in store for us. It happens so often. And you know what? There's only one winner in that whole thing. It's not God. It's not the person getting sidetracked. It's Satan. He's the only one that wins. I've told you before, confession's good for the soul, right? I've told you before, I'm rebellious by nature. I am a rebel. I used to be a rebel without a cause. Now I'm a rebel with a cause. And that cause is the Lord. Amen. But here's something. If you want to be rebellious, there's nothing wrong with being rebellious. There's nothing wrong with being stubborn. You just got to point it in the right direction. If you want to be rebellious, rebel against Satan getting victory.
Amen. There you go.
In your life.
Amen.
There's some times where I'm as low as you can go, and I'm so frustrated, I can just spit fire. Anybody ever been there? I told you, confession's good for the soul. And I'm headed down a path that is not going good. And I've got things going on in my brain that I don't need anybody to know about because they're just not a good thing. And I got to remind myself that, Frank, you're being an idiot. Anybody ever talk to yourself like that? Okay. We're in good company. I say to myself, self, if you do those things, only Satan wins. Why let Satan win in your life? He's already won enough in your life. Why let him win again?
Come on.
And that thought right there gets me fired up. I'm not going to let Satan win. And it helps me get back on track. I rebel against Satan. That's a pretty good thing to rebel against. Amen, Joe?
Very good.
Amen.
Very good.
Joseph did not let his circumstances dictate his future. And it happens so often. And it's so sad. Don't let that happen in your life. See, his brothers hated Joseph for his dreams. That didn't stop him from dreaming. His father rebuked him for his dreams. But he did ponder on them, though. But he didn't let that pondering help him much when he was lied to about his son's future. But didn't stop Joseph from dreaming. See, Joseph let his dreams help him trust in the Lord, even in the worst of circumstances.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. When he was in the pit, he had to think this. Well, Lord, that was a nice dream. I'm not sure how this fits into it, but we'll see. When he was taken out of the pit, he might have thought, hey, things are looking up. Then he was sold as a slave. Talk about a roller coaster. That's the other thing that amazes me about the life of Joseph. It is up and down and up and down and up and down. How many of you get sick of the up and down of life? I personally like a steady slow. Amen? That's just not how life works often. But every time that Joseph was down, he had to remember, okay, Lord, that dream thing, you know, I'm not sure how this fits into it, but we'll see. See, he did not let himself get off track. He did not let his dreams diminish because of his circumstances. He let his dreams help him to trust in the Lord. See, faith, trust in the Lord, faith helps us past our present to anticipate the future. There's a lot of people that they do not allow faith to help them get beyond their current circumstance. Everybody here loves Psalm 23. You probably know Psalm 23 by heart. In Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Notice it says, through.
Amen.
I preached on this a couple of years ago on a Wednesday night. The problem with too many Christians is they get in the valley of the shadow of death that God brought them into, because God is, the Lord is their shepherd and he's leading them, right?
Amen.
And they forgot that he's with them in the shadow of death. And instead of not fearing, they begin to fear and they become paralyzed in the valley of the shadow of death. And they set up housekeeping in the valley of the shadow of death. And they live the rest of their life in the mentality of the shadow of the valley of death. God never intends you to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. He wants to bring you through the valley. Don't set up a tent in the valley. Let the shepherd lead you through it. Let the shepherd go with you through it. Let the shepherd strengthen you through it. Let the shepherd help you through it. But don't set up a tent in the valley. Satan's the only one that wins when you do that. And you miss out on what's past the valley. If you set up tent in the valley, you don't get to the outside of the valley. He wants you to go through it, not stay in it. And sometimes it's emotional. We stay in that valley emotionally.
Amen.
Sometimes it's situational.
Right.
And we stay in that valley situationally. Don't stay there. Get out. Frederick Douglass took a risk of his life and escaped slavery. And he was a free man. He actually, one of his jobs was to become a president of a bank. It's amazing. You may be in a situation right now. You need to let the Lord help you get through it. Don't stay in it. See, faith helps us to see past the present so we can anticipate a better future. Faith helps us to allow ourselves, faith helps us not to allow ourselves to be victims of our situation and circumstance. Boy, that's a whole message in itself right there. But don't let that happen in your life. Faith helps us to be motivated to move beyond where we currently are to where God wants us to be. And the last thing, just briefly, as we see Joseph here with these dreams and how God gave him these dreams and how God would bring these dreams to pass and how his brothers hated him for these dreams and his father rebuked him for these dreams, but he pondered on these dreams. He has observed the sayings of them. We need to let God work his will in our lives.
Amen.
Out for us. See, when God gives you his dream, it's not up to you to fulfill it. That would be a mistake. Don't take the dream of God and say, "Okay, God, I got the marching orders. Let's go. I'm going." No, don't leave God behind when you get his dream. Let him work his dream out in your life. Because you're not going to fulfill his dream on your own. You need him to do it through you. See, let him do it in his time. There's a lot of times we've got the right idea, but we don't have the right time. There's been several times Brother Martin and I have talked as we've been on this journey of God working and leading him into this ministry of U.S. military missions. And he had the dream. The tricky part was discerning the timing. See, let God work in his time. Don't get ahead of God and don't lag behind God. Stay with God and let him work.
Amen.
See, let him do it his way. You cannot accomplish God's will for your life your way. Okay? You're going to mess it up. All right? So don't do that. Don't mess it up. All right? It's God's plan. Let God do it his way in you and through you. You don't do it your way. So like salvation. It's a great idea. Don't go to hell, go to heaven. That's a great idea, right?
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that have a lot of ideas how that works. But guess what? Only one idea works. God's. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not the Baptist way. It's not my way. It's not your way. It's not some other way. It's God's way. It's God's heaven. It's God's salvation. You don't get it but his way. And it's through faith in his son only. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. You can't. It's too good. You can't accomplish God's will in your life your way. Just like you can't get to heaven your way. It's got to be done his way.
Amen.
In his time. And here's the last thing we struggle with. We humans, we struggle with this. Let him do it to his glory.
Amen.
Let him do it to his glory. When he does it, do not say, "Look what I did." Don't shoot yourself in the foot like that. When he does it, give him the glory.
Amen.
Admit, you know what? I could have never done that. You know that dream I had for my life that was a good dream? God's dream is a better dream.
Amen.
My dream, I would have never met Terry. That was a pretty good deal. My dream, I would have never, ever visited Oregon. It was not on my radar. I'm from Florida. That's as far away as you can get. Yesterday, there were so many places I was just admiring the beauty of this place. And I reminded myself again, man, you get to live here. Wow, what a gift. God's dream is far better than your dream.
Amen.
Don't miss God's dream. Live in your dream. And make sure he gets the glory for it. Let's pray.